Good afternoon, friends. It's your night in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, again as we worship you in spirit and truth, coming together because thy Spirit hath ordained that thy people shall assemble and so grant unto thee worship, and be guided by thy Spirit, shall be motivated by thy word. Praying our Father that in this hour we shall come to the awareness, the spiritual vision that you have bestowed upon thy people, the reason for you bringing to their remembrance the things which you have declared from the beginning, for the realization that in this hour that a mighty work must be performed by thy sons and thy daughters. In the midst of all the transgressions that are committed by those who move in ignorance and darkness, thy kingdom shall emerge with power and righteousness and triumph, and again we shall see the fullness of thy spiritual blessing and the great freedom that accompanies thy household when they obey thy word. We pray for this great nation and all the great nations of thy kingdom. We pray that a great awakening shall move throughout thy household everywhere. We have faith and confidence that this is the hour, that the time is now. Thy people shall overcome the powers of darkness and the forces of evil, and we shall behold the defeat as you have added the hosts of heaven to the forces of earth to accomplish this in our time. So as we commit ourselves into thy hand, we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we ask it. Amen. There has never been a period in our history that has been more filled with tremendous events of world-shaking importance than the period in which we live. For this is the great and tremendous climax, now coming to its full, of the design upon the part of the powers of darkness to try to take over and totally suppress the dear children of God. It is the design upon the part of all the enemies of our Western Christian civilization to steamroller over that civilization with all the hordes of Africa and of Asia, and to bring about the total suppression of our white Western Christian civilization and culture. This is also the time in which God Almighty, who established his household in the earth, and from one man's family multiplied it till today it's 1/6 of the world's population, has ordained that the time of the transgressor has come to its full. And therefore the powers of darkness and the forces of evil that have ruled this continent and this planet for many ages are going to meet their greatest defeat. We are to understand, therefore, that with all the tension of the powers of darkness hurled towards world suppression of everything righteous, and with all the determination of God that that which is righteous shall overthrow the darkness, this will, and by necessity, be a very tense time. For the forces of heaven and all the powers of darkness are engaged in a struggle for the earth, and you and I happen to be dwelling here at that time, and we have a responsibility to our family, a responsibility to our eternal Father, and to our nation to accomplish a very vital and very definite result in victory in our own land at this time. Now, there are some things that are very important. One of the most important things to a person of your race, and especially in this nation, is freedom. Freedom is a very, very vital thing to us. It is important that we be free. And because we have been born with a great insight as people into freedom, we have inherited areas of freedom that are a byproduct of our faith and of our origin, we resent every attempt to suppress our freedom, to interfere with individual areas of our individual freedom, as well as our national freedom. Of course, when we talk about freedom, we are absolutely free in the purposes which the Most High has planned to set us free inside of his plan, his purpose, and his program from all the powers of darkness and all the forces of evil. Now, we can well say we have tremendous powers arrayed against us, and the forces of evil affect our national life, and therefore we're not free. But you individually, as an individual, can be totally free from their power as it relates to the occupation of this tabernacle you live in. And you are free within, and you battle for freedom on the outside for you and the nation. Whether you know it or not, you can't help but be in a battle for freedom because this is a part of your nature. When we talk about freedom, we discover that Jesus said that freedom was vital and important. He says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When Jesus spoke to a great congregation of people and said, "You shall know the truth shall make you free," who objected to it? The Jews. Not only did they object to what he said, but they turned around to say that they'd never been in bondage, they'd always been free. And when they made this declaration, Jesus said that they just proved who they were If they'd been Abraham's children, they couldn't, of course, have been free. They would have been in bondage at various times in their history. But they claimed they had never been in bondage. But these are the words that Jesus had said to the people that day. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. This is the most important declaration. If the embodiment of God, if the fulfillment of His work makes you free, then are you free indeed. That is no doubt that freedom is not only your inheritance, but you were begotten free in the beginning in celestial planes. You were the children of spirit. You were the offspring of the Most High God. You knew no bondage. You knew no power. You knew no force that could control your consciousness or subordinate you in any way, that could classify you as in any way in bondage. In fact, until you were begotten into the Adamic world, until you emerged as a descendant of Adam, you have known no bondage of any sort. As such, therefore, you were the children of spirit, begotten in His spirit from celestial planes, and you had been born in free. But when you were born into a physical world, you came in under the bondage that rested upon the Adamic race. Only fortunately for you and I, we came into a cycle that is near the climax of the end of the age, and we came in under a freedom again that had been bought for us by the very embodiment of God. There is no bondage over your spirit. There is no reason for any bondage over your soul. Though today all people that are in bondage as it relates to their thinking are in bondage because they think wrong or they have accepted areas that are in error, and in the area of their thinking they have accepted a bondage which they feel and therefore is imposed upon them. But I want you to know that when the Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and he can't think right unless he knows right. And I point out to you that the great secret of freedom is in knowledge. Ye shall know the truth shall make you free. And this knowledge is a knowledge of power, it's a knowledge of how to be free, and then it's the knowledge of how to retain it. Now, we're vitally concerned because in this hour, we see all kinds of forces seeking to enslave these United States. They are seeking to put us back under tyrannies and bondage, which we had determined in the days of our forebears that helped to found this nation, we would never enter into the bondage again. That we had signed a Declaration of Independence, that we had created a Constitution which was to guarantee areas of freedoms and preserve for us a great heritage. And there isn't any doubt about the magnitude of the things our forefathers dedicated themselves to. And there is no question about the fact that we have received more and have had more blessings bestowed upon us in this nation than almost any place upon the face of the earth. But it is important that we understand that the only way you can be free is to think free and then act free. Because if you do not do that, they'll have you in bondage and that very quickly. Now, there isn't any doubt from the standpoint of the individual citizen and the situations that are active in our country today that we have lost a high percentage of our freedom in these United States. Now, having lost a high percentage of our freedom, the great hunger and the great drive among the people that know the truth is to be free again. Our great desire is to throw off the yoke, to break the bondage, and so help us. We will do this before the purposes of God are consummated in this nation. We shall be free again in our national life. There can be a little doubt that from the very beginning the concept of our faith was that we were to be liberated from all the powers of darkness and the forces of evil and the Luciferian rebellion that had rocked the universe in the antiquities of the ancient yesterdays and had controlled and dominated the earth long before your race was placed here, and then by its seduction and its concepts of evil had brought bondage upon your race in the days of Eve. The fact remains that God entered into that picture at once. He clarified before Adam and Eve and the forebears of your race what He intended to do and how He was going to crush the powers of darkness and the serpent's head with the posterity of this very race of which you and I are a part. Thus it was that we were assured that liberty was going to be the result. And to accomplish this, God Himself visited your race. He became one of you, was born out of the very race which He fathered, out of the very creation of His own spiritual progeneration. Now, let's take a good look at the declaration that the Apostle Paul gives us concerning this. He talks about the liberty that was given unto us. Therefore, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. So what's that? Of course, that's talking about transgressions. It's talking about things that are evil, and it's talking about these problems. Come down to earth and wake up. Did you ever know, my friends, of any bondage that didn't come through transgression, violations of divine law, or violations of national law? Why, this is the way bondage comes. This is the way, my friends, people find themselves in bondage. And when they are set free from the powers of darkness and the forces of evil, when they are set free from sin, when they are set free from thinking wrong, then, my friends, they are free indeed. I point out to you that when the Apostle Paul said to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you have to be set free when you think. You've got to think free before you can live free. I talked to a clergyman the other day. We talked to him every once in a while, but this particular clergyman we knew. And this man was talking about the fact that the important things were the great spiritual discoveries of this time. He said, people have got to get their minds off all the things of the earth and all the problems that surround us, and they got to get their mind on all the great spiritual discoveries and the spiritual things of this hour. I said, that sounds rather interesting. But of course, they said, I want you to tell me what you have discovered or what you have learned. What new great spiritual discovery have you made that sufferers think? I'm interested. Well, he said, there are a lot of great spiritual discoveries of this time. He said, there are discoveries of great spiritual power and of great spiritual revelation. I said, well, tell me what they're about. Because there's nothing I'm more interested in than the great spiritual discoveries of, and the great spiritual power that you're talking about. Tell me about it. Well, he said, of course, God is putting spirit and power into man to do what? Well, so that they'll live right. Where? He said, well, of course, he says, I suppose, in the earth until they die. I said, you haven't discovered anything new. I want some new spiritual discoveries. You say we've got to get out of the earth picture, and we've got to get great spiritual discoveries that are being turned loose today. I said, you know what discovery you've got to find out is? That the spiritual power, the revelation, the knowledge, the freedom is to live in the earth with it. We have been placed in the earth, and here we are, spirit, soul, and body, spirit of your spirit, born and free in spiritual realms, embodied in a physical world with a soul consciousness that can draw out of both dimensions. And everything I discover inside of this book is telling us how to be victorious over the powers of darkness, how to be triumphant, how to live in our race in the name of our God to achievement, how to do the work that God has called us to do for the day, the hour, and the dispensation in which we live. How often have I heard people always talking about something intangible, and they see in pink and blue lights and so forth, and maybe they get a golden light involved in it, but they never can give any shape or form or any image. They never get down to earth. They never show us anything. I want you to know that the most important thing you can understand this afternoon is how to translate spiritual vision, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding into occupation in the earth. It is this that is significant to you. You have inherited something very, very vital, and the powers of darkness want to crush it, destroy it, remove it, because they're afraid of it. You have inherited the ability to think the thoughts of the Father. We spoke to you about the fact that the sword of the Spirit was the great weapon which was in your possession. It was the knowledge and wisdom from the mind of the Most High God. We tell you that you shall know truth. The truth makes you free. So the power that makes you free is knowledge, wisdom that proceeds forth from the Most High God. There is a distinct quality that belongs to the Adamic race that makes it different than any other people on the face of the earth. And all the powers of darkness want to enslave it, want to subordinate it, want to suppress it. And yet all of the freedom that you find in the world, all the wisdom, the knowledge, the science, and the skills have emerged forth out of the household of the Most High God. What is the key to it? It is the fact that God's Spirit not only exists in you, but your body are the temple of His Holy Spirit. The concepts and ideas that function through your society have moved out of the mind of God and have inspired your race, and you think like He does in the Spirit. It is because of this that the Apostle Paul said that we don't have the Spirit which is of the world. We have the Spirit which is of God. We didn't receive the Spirit like the world had. We received the Spirit from God. And this Spirit searches out all the secret things of God and freely makes them known unto us. This being so, the most important thing is that everything that has happened to your forebears has been your inheritance. You think like this. You function like this. Now, the world order is trying to change the thoughts of your background. It's trying to wipe out everything that you've inherited in knowledge, wisdom, skills, perception, and the whole vibratory force of the impact of your society. They're trying to wipe it out. They want to absorb it, mongrelize it, integrate it, and then take away even your national entity as well as your racial entity. You know what they're warning against? They're warning against your culture. You know, they don't like this word culture unless they spell it with a K. It's vitally important that you and I understand what culture is. It's that inherited pattern of ideas and vision and understanding that passes from generation to generation and only has added to it their experiences and their knowledge as the Spirit of God grants impetus and vision to a people and to a race. And therefore, yours is not the culture of the world order. Yours is the science and the skills and the inheritance of the patterns of heaven. And out of it, you see, with ideas that form vast pictures, the things you want to do, you translate it to technology, to reality, to architecture, to building, and you do it all right here in the earth. You haven't done anything since you've arrived anyplace else but right here in the world. There are an awful lot of people that talk about the fact that we're to get our minds off of everything that's here and let the devil take it over, but I want you to get your mind on everything that's here and take it back. You know, if our Father intended to leave the world in the hands of the devil, he never bothered to send us here anyhow. He didn't send us here to submit, he sent us here to conquer. And he said he's going to let us overcome all of the powers of darkness, all the works of the devil, and more than that, we're going to build a kingdom that will never be destroyed, and we're going to rule it with divine law and righteousness from one end of the earth to the other, and that everyone with a bow to knee and acknowledge our Father. Not, my friends, by a coalition of religions. It's not going to be accomplished by acquiescence to the enemy. A lot of people have been given a propaganda field that it's much better to live under any form of government than have a Holocaust or maybe be killed in defending some set of principles that you possess. So they've adopted the phrase, better red than dead. But I haven't any time for people like that. Our forefathers didn't build our civilization and our culture on this foundation. They have been in struggle against darkness since they first arrived, and they will never leave this field until they've consummated the purpose for which they were sent. I point out to you that over all the patterns of our history, it is significant that we understand this wave of culture, this impact of thought and of idea. You know, the world order is trying to subordinate it, all right. You don't have to go very far to hear that. When we talk about culture, we think of all the symphony, the vast perceptions of musical values and of heavenly tones that have moved by inspiration down through composers and through artists of all generations. When you go back over these great composers and the great work which they have given us, the symphonies which they have composed are a part of the culture of our race. When I turn on a television set or a radio and I hear this jungle boogie-woogie and see these youths going wild with all the gymnastics that go along with it that belongs to the jungle, I see the world trying to suppress culture with a great vibration of the darkness. And this is not their inheritance. Their inheritance lies in that transcendent music that have come out of the spheres that have been moved, motivated by spirit and were played by the angels. When I move through an art gallery today, I see the difference between culture and the world revolution. For the vision of one has created the vast landscapes in which the very spirit of the things created and the majesty of the scene before it has caught the soul of the individual painting it, and his painting and his canvas stands out a vivid work of the beautiful landscape or of the tremendous character and duplication in the face or a portrait of someone that he's painted, and you look at it and you know what it is and you feel it. It almost stands out of the canvas and it's alive. This is an inherited cultural ability that belongs to our race. And then I look at a lot of smeared up a jamboree of lines mixed up with a hank of hair, a knife, a tooth stuck off in the corner, and I'm told this is a modern concept of modern art.
All I know it for is the Jew perversion that twisted the minds of a people with a pagan culture of Lucifer.
And I know that until the mind is free, that until it draws its background out of the vision of inspiration, until it can think and talk with that which is a part of its background and reaches into its tomorrows, it's in bondage. I tell you, any time any one of your race comes out with one of these monstrosities that replaces the concept of art or of music in any of these fields, this individual is in bondage. There isn't any question that across our national life has come the great scar of unassimilatable forces and peoples that hate our God, that hate our faith, and hate our race. They came here to take over the rich bounty of this land. I saw them interviewing one of these rascals on television last night. Oh, they owned the station, so they built up the character of a kindly artist in his field, and though he represented ADL power at the same time, they didn't want everybody tied together. They just wanted to see everything flow into one great program of brotherhood, all this. But all the time, they were trying to cover up the real facts. They had to defend the fact that the Jews didn't have anything to do with international banking. That was just a coincidence thing. They didn't have anything to do with communism. This was just a coincidence that some of them were communists or some of them were agents. But he thinks they protested too loudly. Whenever you own the station and then and Lucifer has his own children as the speakers, and then they try to put everybody to sleep concerning what he's doing, they best not discuss their problems. There are those that say a Christian church could not carry out its responsibilities and love towards God and emanate that area of love that needs to express in the entire community and be opposed to any portion of the peoples of earth. Let me tell you something. You can't express the love of God unless you're against evil. You cannot express the love of God unless you wish to carry forward the program which God has planned for the earth. And that plan, my friends, is the liberation of the peoples that are in bondage. You look out towards Africa today, and let me tell you something, they're far more in bondage under their own cannibal coops than they ever were in this country under the administration of the white man. If you turn to Asia today, they're in more in bondage under the temples of idolatry and their pagan priesthoods and underworld communism than they have ever been at any time in their history. And there is no hope and there is no freedom except from those who have been set free by Christ in their thinking, and those that recognize that they are children of the free, and that then they rule the world even with a rod of iron and a righteousness and law. They set people free from the most destructive force on the face of earth. And that, my friends, is evil and doing things the wrong way. When we look at the transition that takes place in the consciousness of a man, everything that his era is the way a man thinks, and then he acts this way to please himself because he wants to think error to do error. And when he thinks right, he's transformed in the areas of his consciousness to evaluate and appreciate the values of righteousness. Then he is renewed in his mind and he thinks in a proper alignment with God. Then he lives differently. There is no power that transforms men's lives like the power to think right. I point out to you that the mighty purposes of God in the earth are not geared in any way to eventually the whims of people, but to the sovereign declaration of the Most High God. For irrespective of the Presbyterian Church, is still going to predestinate the ultimate outcome of the events in the earth and has given us a blueprint which we tell you about this afternoon. There isn't any question in my mind about a victory. There are those that are wondering whether we're going to accomplish a victory or whether we're going to be swallowed up, whether we're going to go through the worst period in all our history of total suppression, whether we're going to be ruled over by the entirety of the pagan world, whether we're going to be absorbed. I'm going to tell you something, that God Almighty has raised up a beacon, and He's raised up nations, and this nation has a responsibility before Him, and one of the responsibilities of the citizens on the inside is to make sure that those that represent and hold authority in this country will be in alignment with God. Say, well, we're far from it this afternoon. We're just about to see the greatest turmoil in all history as the Spirit of God turns loose the combating power against the darkness. There is no question that when we look out over our world problems, we discover that The world is told that it's battling against poverty, and it's battling against depressions, and it's battling against wars. That the key behind all of these problems they're talking about is violations of divine law. If you want to be free from poverty, why then you go to work constructively under a proper law that produces increase. That frees you from poverty. I talked to a young man the other day who said he just didn't know how he was going to get enough money. I asked him what he was going to do to help his situation. He said he just didn't know, so he didn't do anything. I'm going to tell you that there's a good reason why there's a vast shortage of money, because it takes output to get any. And there are no end of people across the nation that have had a strange type of influence placed upon them by the strangers in our midst, who want a certain number of people that are in conditions that would be insufficient for economic security, so that they can manipulate and use these people. And instead of building inside of our colleges and universities a great creative vision of initiative, a great constructive concept of applying themselves to production and to giving in services and to accomplish for themselves security and applying the processes of thrift, they are being told today that all they've got to do is render the kind of service that prolongs a socialist society that will guarantee them all these things without thrift and by total spending. You see, you don't live in a period of time when even your government operates under the patterns of the law of freedom. In fact, it's spending under greater bondage all the time and indebting society in future generations in such a derelict fashion that never has there been such economic insecurity upon the part of government, or never such fiscal irresponsibility as takes place now. In fact, I would cite that the way functioning government operates is in a felonious manner that would place any private citizen in the penitentiary if he conducted his affairs the way they handle yours. And we anticipate and talk about building a society that understands monetary integrity, that understands responsibility towards helping to create a solid order. How, my friends, can you instruct youth when in the areas of administration and leadership, the areas of activity is scandalous and beyond all standards of righteousness and law? You think they're getting anywhere? No, they're getting ready to go down the slide into further bondage. Now they've even reached the time when we told you about it last year that it was going to come, and now it's arrived, when even the President of the United States said we're going to take the silver out of the silver money, but it'll feel the same. We're not interested in money by feel. We're interested in what money's worth and what it'll purchase. Or it'll buy just as much if you honor it, see? But we are going to take all but 40% of the silver out of a half a dollar. We're not going to have any silver in a dime, no silver in a quarter anymore, because we're going to take the silver out of it. We're going to make them out of copper and nickel. They're going to look alike and feel the same. They said, but it won't have it. They take it out of the dollar, too, but they're under contract to keep so much silver in a silver dollar, so they just won't mint any, but they can't change that. So they get all the silver certificates in and all the United States notes to prescribe the weight, how much silver is to be behind it, they won't change that. But the fact remains that they've taken away all your gold, now they're taking away all your silver, and this is what transpires when you move into an area of fiscal irresponsibility and dishonesty. Oh, you say, well, they tell us that silver's getting scarce. No wonder it's getting scarce, because they're letting themselves, under a manipulation and a violation of divine law, fill the coffers of the enemies of your civilization, your race, and they're trucking it off to Palestine and hiding it in their vaults all over the world. So it says you can't eat it. No, but the enemy sure wants it. Now let me point out to you that this is just a pattern of a violation of the divine law. Do you want to know why you're in economic trouble? Because in the first place, God gave you laws of economy as He gave you laws of agriculture. As He gave you laws for moral and ethical conduct in your society, He gave you economic laws. He gave you race laws. One of the most important things we're going to learn in this country, and we're learning it the hard way, we're going to get back a respect for God's racial laws. We've got too many mentally irresponsible clergy who think that the laws of God are a bondage. But I want to tell you what the law does. When you observe the law of God, you're free. the laws of God free you from superstition, ignorance, and error. Someone said they're the laws of sin and death. No, the laws of sin and death are when you violate the way things are made and when you do things wrong. Then you're in bondage and the law of sin and death is at work. It's the violations of divine law that are the laws of sin and death. Some people have the concept that God set them free from all law by the atonements in Calvary's cross. You were not saved by law, you were saved by grace. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made you free from the law of sin and death. Now, what is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? A great spiritual perception, a great desire to perform with coordinative accuracy according to the way the Father created the universe, according to the way He willed it to be run. The spiritual law of life in Christ Jesus is a dynamic awareness of the eternal structure of the Spirit and of the life that flows from God to His household. The law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the law that your spirit of His spirit, and therefore your life of His life, just as He told the Apostle Paul, your flesh of His flesh and your bone of His bone. That when you understand the law of life and don't throw a mental block in your soul consciousness against the program of God, it flows with spiritual power through every beat portion of your being. It charges every entity of your being. It's life, it's vitality. Freedom, yes, there's freedom. Freedom over superstition and over error. And the freedom is freedom to live in God's kingdom on a standard that becomes the sons and daughters of God. I'm going to tell you something. You can be free over death. After all, the Spirit never dies anyhow. He said, I've given you eternal life and you never perish. But He says, I'll tell you something else. There's an hour coming when we're going to show the mighty triumph of this race right here in the earth, when even death is going to be swallowed up in victory. I can show you over here in the book of Romans where it makes this declaration that the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, and He shall quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, there is no question about the fact that the very Spirit that dwells in you has power over substance and shall give you immortality. Never has it been more important for us to understand that when you start to conform to the pattern of the laws of God, you put things back in order. If your nation or your race or you, an individual, have gone out of adjustment with the law of God, then you put the law of God back in work and you're in adjustment again. Now, when we deal with our economic problems and our racial problems, they all arrive very simply. When we permitted the entrance into our country of those that we could not assimilate and those that the Word of God told us we were not to absorb, and as long as they dwell apart, they didn't bother us too much, but it wasn't long before some of them had their hands in the treasury and they had their hands in the economic manipulation. It wasn't long before their usurious practices were involving our economy and we were beginning to feel the smarting of it. And when you finally hit the greatest depression the world has ever known and it swept down on these United States, it was a byproduct of manipulation. They make it rather practical. I have thousands of volumes that dealt with political science and economics and what transpired, and they openly admit they suddenly pulled the credit out from under you and folded you up. And if they can get you doing business on phony money or on extended money or money that is even backed by your production, suddenly pull the money out from under it, they stop the production. And people are no longer hired and the factories close and with it the goods stop flowing and trouble starts. I want you to know that the last depression was not a symptom. It was a conspiratorial design brought to completion. Say, why? How could we have avoided that? You would have avoided that if you had not only retained in the hands of this great nation the constitutional provisions that Congress would continue to establish the value of money and its coinage, and your national history would have provided for a United States bank, too, controlled by Congress, and there would have been no usury involved in the moving of money, which was the instrument to move your goods, and which would have contained in its coinage its own intrinsic value. I want you to know that when you want to get out of trouble and you want to be free again, you reverse the course. I think we ought to deport out of these United States
Every individual that's in here illegally that denies our God and is working to overthrow our society.
We'll have more to say about that with its biblical pattern this evening, but it's a significant thing, and I point out to you that when you want to be free, you've got to go back and find out where you went in bondage. A great Christian nation like this, 149 million Christians by background, inheritance, and race live in this country. I think we ought to determine the destiny of this country all the way, since we're over three-quarters of the stock. Someone said we are against oppression of minorities, but your whole basic concept of representative government recognizes that the greater strength of the majority of opinion determines your destiny. It selects the representatives. If that isn't the way it has been designed to function, then we better change it. The program of God's kingdom not only points out basic responsibility, but if you will carefully look at the instructions which God gave us when he walked among us. During those days when Jesus walked the earth, every single sermon, every message, every application was related to human conduct, human relationships, and to the responsibility that men owed God in his kingdom on earth with their stewardship and with their living, with their occupation. You didn't hear any long dissertations about heavenly realms, did you? You didn't hear any mysteries except the mysteries that relate to spiritual mystery, to race, to understanding, and to the preservation of this source of spiritual perception. Sure, Jesus spoke in mysteries because he wasn't talking to the world order. He said, I speak unto you because unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To them it's not given. I don't want them to join you because they think they know the password. Jesus said, if I didn't speak in miracles, why, they'd join you. But they wouldn't join you with intent of heart. They would join you with head knowledge without any spiritual capacity. We've got all kinds of attorneys that can prattle off the entire structure of the Constitution, and they can talk like they support law in every process of it. But these very rascals, by faith, race, and background, are trying to make a red republic out of you and eventually destroy your integrity as a nation. You know, the enemy has invaded every facet of life, and he knows skillfully that to do this, he must bind men's minds, he must control their thinking, and then he must make them think that this is the accepted way. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. The difference between the children of the kingdom and the enemy is that you are a happy warriors, because deep down inside of you, you do not live with fear. You not only know that you're free, but if you know enough of the things which God has unveiled, you are aware that he still has a master plan and a blueprint. There's something unique about this book. This book is a blueprint on the part of God about how he intends to take over with the new order of the ages. It contains within it secrets of wisdom and of power and of communication. It contains within it operations for expansion and growth. It contains also blueprints for sudden interventions and a whole plan for taking over the earth. You know, the funny thing is that our enemies are scoffing at this. After the war was over, they didn't scoff at Mein Kampf. But there's an awful lot of people that do not recognize that in this book is God's plan for taking over the earth. And they're trying to scoff at it. There isn't anything wrong with having a plan, irrespective of what you intend to do, but let me tell you that when God has a plan, this is the way it's going to go. But that doesn't remove you from areas of responsibility. At this very moment in your United States, they are intending to suppress area after area of your Bill of Rights. It doesn't make a difference what those Bill of Rights consist of. All through the history of your race, you have been called upon to defend your homes, to defend your society, to defend your tribal life, your city-states, your nations, against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil, against the brigand and against the outlaw, against the armies of the enemies. God went so far as to say that he didn't provide or defend for his own household was worse than Israel. And you have been a people that have grown up from the days of your tribal life to your present time, a people armed, ready to defend your liberty. Back to the days of Gideon, God selected the men that he was going to use to save and to deliver his people by their attitude towards keeping their weapons at hand and their eyes vigilant on the enemy. And if they disregarded this for a moment, laid down their weapons and dropped to their face to get water without staying alert, they were sent home. And that's one reason why your freedom, which you have today, you bought and paid for it with the price of courage and with strength of arms and with the courage to believe God would give you the ability to defend yourself and to accomplish your freedom. Today they're doing everything in their power to take away your arms in the United States. Did you know that? Right now they've got bills and traps to disarm the American citizen, to take away his arms, which the Bill of Rights guarantees he has a right to have, own, and bear. In fact, there are states already that have infringed on these constitutional rights with some impunity because no one's ever counted to the Supreme Court. They have never had to pass on the decisions concerning this because they could not, my friends, throw out, they could not support laws that have no validity to begin with because they start by infringement, which is denied. We point out to you that by the same token, that we are enjoying the right of free speech. Now, you know, there's a lot of people that are not enjoying the right of free speech because they have already accepted the fear of the enemy. They are afraid to speak their mind. They're afraid to express themselves. They're told you're antisocial. What if you do this, you're going to be looked down upon. Or if you say the thing that you have in your mind, why, they'll just class you as illiterate and irresponsible because you haven't accepted the world picture. So you better not speak out. It might cost you your affluence in society. They might take away your job. They might do a lot of things. So hold your peace. Don't speak out. Things that you have guaranteed you is your freedom of speech as well as your freedom of worship. I know a great number of clergymen who said that they would like to speak on the things which are prophetic and things which relate to the present problems, but they are afraid that if they do that, they're going to lose their tax exemption status as churches. They're worried that if they speak out on the things which are truth, even though it's related to the scripture, that they will find themselves in a position where government can move against them or discriminate against them. You know, in this country, which has a great altar of freedom, your Constitution and your Bill of Rights were the stones in that altar. You know, the Congress of the United States can't make any law abridging an establishment of religion. They can't interpret religion. They can't come in and say, you can't preach that when it's thus saith the Lord. They're powerless under the law. And if they turn from this, or if they make decisions which are not in conformity with the Constitution and the freedom of religion, they are outlaws. Someone said, it can happen. If it happens, then this is time for people again to defend their liberty. There's one reason why you can be sure that any facet of human conduct in which God has made a clear position in His Scriptures, we will discuss that and its application irrespective of outside pressure. Because the church is responsible to discuss everything that affects its parishioners and relates to the pattern of God, the laws of God, the plan of God. Now, when the church drops that responsibility, it has no excuse to exist. In fact, I've already convinced that there are a lot of churches that have turned into nothing but social clubs, and they can't operate as efficiently as outside worldly institutions could do it. They have no reason for existence. They have dropped the responsibility of thus saith the Lord. The moment that we have to try to make our doctrines conform to a world order's accepted revolution, which is a Luciferian design to wipe out the culture of the kingdom and suppress the vision of the mind of God,
Then, my friends, when we have made our minds conform to this, we're back in bondage again.
The man said to me, "Well, Dr. Swift, we're not in bondage yet." I said, "You pay your taxes? How about that tax bill? That looked like freedom. Just how much did it cost you last year?" "Well," he said, "they took about 30% of everything I made for taxes." I said, "You're fortunate. Because if you computed all the hidden taxes and all the areas of manipulation, you'll find that they took a great lot more than 30%. Now, I said, "Why did this transpire? Why does this happen? You say you're free, but you're not free from this. What happens if you don't pay it?" "Well, he'd lose his property, he'd lose his freedom eventually, too. See, that even curtail his right to walk around." You say, "Well, we can't run this tremendous machinery that we must run today without a tremendous amount of money. We've got to support this thing." But I want to point out that when you make government this big, you lost your freedom. You know, the program of God's kingdom could operate big government because the kingdom is big without this type of extortion from the people. Because there's a whole lot of things we do away with, and the first thing we do away with is the person that exploits us for handling our own money. The laws of God are violated in many ways. The general trend of your whole Federal Reserve System is a violation of divine law, in which they have placed a total evaluation on paper with their name on it and rendered it usurious results to your government, and you're spending almost 30% of all your national production paying these people that have swindled you out of your own production by loaning you paper. Whatever you pay before you're through, almost 30% of your money manipulation for using their paper, it's time you became wise again to the instrument of God and remove usury out of your society. Statement was made that any procedure which extracts any profit from the use of money is usury. Therefore, all classifications of interest were applied as usury. But this is not so. When there has been an application of the investment in the creation of wealth and the production of wealth, this in itself is not usury. But when they create of no value whatsoever, but the value of the paper it's printed on, an area of supposed wealth, and then loan this supposed wealth to governments at a repeated and multiple constant turnover through the year, then they have made the very money they created subject to usury. A young minister one time, we sat with a group of other young ministers and we were being told what to preach on and what not to preach on. And this professor said, "There's one thing I want you to know, that you're going to soon discover that there are areas of violation of divine law in the conduct of governments." And he said, "I'm an old man now, and there's one thing I know," he said, "and that is, of course, that you're going to soon discover that usury is one of the problems, and the economic manipulation upon the part of the moneylenders is also a problem. But you warn yourself, don't ever preach any sermons on it." So one of the first things I want to know from this professor, "Well, if this is in violation of divine law, and this is creating all this human misery, and this is putting this burden on the people, and why should we preach any sermons on it?" He said, "Because the syndicates and the powers and the forces that be will destroy and crush any minister. They'll spear and wipe him out if he touches this subject. This is forbidden." And then, of course, he said, "If you do persist in this, even brother clergymen will say you're preaching a social gospel, and therefore they'll denounce you from the right as well as the left." I'm not interested in terminology as it relates to the application of the gospel. I want you to know that the gospel of the Christian faith and the gospel of your race is the flowing concept from the mind of your Father on living in the earth, and it's going to affect everything, political, social, and economic, and everything that relates to your existence in society as well as your worship of God. And we very skillfully become in bondage to the formation of words, to what we call semantics. You know that we have gribly permitted the enemy to take over words that had great semantic values. There's nothing wrong with the word brotherhood. You know, one of the things Peter told us to do was to love God, love the brotherhood, serve the King. This is Peter the Apostle. What was the brotherhood? Well, that was the brotherhood of hardcore Christians. That's what that was. That wasn't brotherhood with the devil. There isn't anything like brotherhood. There's no greater word in semantics than for human relationship than brotherhood, because brotherhood relates to my Father's sons. The only brothers I have are my Father's sons. Nobody outside of my Father's household are my brothers. So I said, well, what about the man down the street? Well, he has to be my Father's son. I'm going back down to the Father that begat us. I'm talking about the eternal God who acknowledges us as his sons and his daughters, said we are his progeny, we're his household in the world. And so therefore there's nothing wrong with brotherhood. There's nothing wrong with the word liberty. This just is a tremendous explosive word. It means free from individuals coming in and interfering with your way of life. Liberty, brotherhood. Now someone said, what about equality? Well, this is a very distorted and very twisted word. It's used so many ways. When we talk about equality before the law, we're talking about a standard of righteousness in which justice is blind to individual status by their economic wealth and their power, and recognizes that a law must be effective to everybody that's under it. But when the satanically inspired Illuminati, made up of the children of Lucifer, were forming their underground potlins and wanted to move against Christian nations and exploit them, they said, we'll make the passwords liberty, equality, and brotherhood. No one can be against that anymore. You can be against mother. And so they took these words and they spread their propaganda to try to equalize you with all the peoples of the world, irrespective of their religion or their background or their origin. They tried to make you brothers with the Luciferian kingdom because they're more than you are. Always the children of the bondwoman have been more than those of the free. They wanted to be able to subordinate you and engulf you, outnumber you by this procedure. And then they wanted to make liberty only that principle that permits the forces that are not a part of your society to penetrate yours, to take away your liberty. And thus it is that we have heard these words used by the enemy very, very skillfully. How many times have you listened to radio and television broadcasts lately? It was the entirety of those broadcasts were talking about the down, the trodden and depressed peoples of the Negro race, and that they must have equality and they must have liberty to penetrate every area of your society and your culture. And that the church is responsible to promote this because this is the gospel of brotherhood. This, my friends, is a satanic lie. And I'm going to tell you something. Satan can quote scriptures like a lot of preachers. He even tried to quote scriptures to Jesus. Can you imagine that? You know, this is the conceit of the devil. He stood up and tried to quote scriptures to Jesus as to why Jesus should yield to temptation. Of course, you don't have to go far. There's an awful lot of people trying to justify themselves for areas of their transgression all the time. But Lucifer was trying to use the scriptures to get Jesus to do what he wanted him to do. He said, isn't it written that he shall bear thee up lest you dash your foot against a stone? So jump off of this cliff now and prove you can do it. Here's the scripture. You know, some people want to go around picking up poisonous snakes because it says if you pick up any poisonous thing, it shall not hurt you. Don't you tempt the Lord thy God. What God promised to do in protecting children and protecting the innocent and protecting individuals is one thing. And what you do when you fight the face of God by going out and do the thing which is in violation to all intelligence and law is something else. I'm going to tell you that you don't go out and flaunt the laws of God because the devil quoted scriptures to you. What they're trying to do is get America to flaunt God's law while the devil quotes scriptures with a frock coat. This is total hypocrisy. You know, you want to know how far and effective your missionary activities go? Here's an 8-page letter from Africa. This 8-page letter says that the gospel, as it has come to them on these tapes, have given their people a new lease on life. Tells about how they bought expensive equipment to change the tapes from the speed that you record them here, and that our tape production line sends them out to a separate type of tape conformable to the type of machines they have in that area. And said that they're sending them in, and leaders and people in the Dutch Reformed Church and people in areas of government and administration and people in community after community are receiving tape, and they said that they have been spending their money just spreading this word, because he said this truth has quickened our consciousness, has given us a new leaf on life, a new hope. South Africa, Southern Rhodesia, even smuggling truth into Kenya colony. The resulting situation is that when you see this, you understand again that there's a hunger in the hearts of people for the Word of God. And when they hear truth, this is the most important thing, because the great spirit of freedom is still alive. I want you to know that I think that there is more liberty, more freedom, and more Christian responsibility in the leadership of the government of South Africa that is being displayed by almost any other government on the face of the earth right now. Because they are determined. They're going to preserve their white Christian culture, the background of their race, and they're going to fulfill the law of God. I want you to know that the majority of people in these United States feel this way. Many of them are afraid to speak out, but they will. But they're permitting leadership to go the way of the world. There is no question that the citizen in this country does not like the idea that there is freedom to snoop in his privacy, to bug his home, to go through every one of his private papers, to continue to go through every facet of his living, and to find himself pitted against a force which is always seeking to find something wrong so they can lock him up or extort money from him. In these great United States, your home is no longer your castle. When we were free, your home was your castle, and nobody came into it without a warrant. It was duly provided. You say, well, that's still the law. But they set the law aside and come in anyhow. So what has this to do with us today? I'll tell you what it has to do with you today. Not only must you recognize that we must restore not only the laws of God to our society, to our way of life, but we must dedicate ourselves to liberty and to freedom. We must be determined first that in our personal lives we shall seek every area of divine guidance and knowledge so that we can walk free and think free, because we are synchronized with the thoughts of God and we are not, by violation of those laws, putting ourselves under any bondage. You must be free in spirit before you can push a freedom of spirit out to those around about you. This freedom is a catalyzing force. It stems from God, it moves through men, it sets them free, and then it moves out to build freedom. Violations of divine law put men in bondage. And their freedom, therefore, has been curtailed. Well, they may walk free, they may act free, they may look like everybody else, but back inside their minds, they're in a bondage. A subconscious working guilt complex works on them. Now we understand the great workings of God's grace. We know He's given us eternal life. We can't add to it. We can't take it away. But we also know that with this mighty course of His grace, He has not predestinated our destiny based on the areas of our past conduct, but on the purposes that He has for us. But there is a law that works among men and nations with its areas of compensation. And it requires you and I, with respect to the laws of God, to live within this society as becomes the sons and daughters of the Most High God. By this process, as we dedicate ourselves to this, the preservation of our faith, we no longer become ashamed to identify ourselves with Christ. We are no longer ashamed to support that which is Christian. We are no longer ashamed to say we don't want anybody running our PTA, we don't want a governor in our capital, and we don't want anybody ever in power in our nation that's not a Christian. You know, that should even carry over to the Treasury Department, the Attorney General's office. The time when you're suppressing Christians, I don't think you feel too happy when you get an assistant Attorney General that comes from the ghettos, no matter how much money that ghetto might represent. I tell you that even in this last week, we get an appointment in Washington. We get an appointment of another week. And this individual's father is great influence in the areas of Jewish control of commerce in New York City. He's your new Attorney General's assistant. And when they wanted an assistant Attorney General in the state of California, where did he come from? Where did Mr. Lynch get his assistant? They imported him from New York, and he's a Jew named Roden. He just arrived a short time ago. Your assistant Attorney General here, he's not a Californian, he's a New York Jew. Someone said, this should be discussed in church. It's a Christian responsibility for you and I to do some thinking. Why, my friends, do we have to go outside to get the kind of representation that is no part of our society or concept? This last week, twice, Israel ally invaded the border integrity of Jordan. Last week, she made assaults against Jordanians and areas around the Arab groups. There's no question about the fact that they're trying to stir up areas of international trouble and then have you and I pull the chestnuts out of the fire by destroying their enemies. But I point out to you that all of these facets relate to you, your liberty, your freedom, your national life. The most important thing you can know this afternoon is that you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You were born free in the Spirit. God placed you down here on the earth, and you went under bondage by thinking wrong, by taking the error, by listening to the lie. And it's when you know the truth that you're set free. And God, with the spiritual revelations of His Word, with His vast background contacts with the patriarchs and with the prophets, moved upon men with the knowledge of truth to set them free. He built up the orders of their responsibility. He gave them His law. He told them how it would benefit them. He promised to bless and supply and guide and lead. And then He fulfilled the entire project of His own atonement and His visitation to earth as a man of your race, not ashamed to call you His kinsmen, His relatives, and His brethren. And He told His disciples concerning things that were to happen. He unveiled to the Apostle John almost 2,000 years or more of coming history and brought to his cognition all kinds of things past in the book of Revelation. The difference between being a Christian and guided by the truths of the Scripture is that you know what God has on His mind, and then you commune with the areas of vision and inspiration that are the distinction between being a success or failure, no matter what you do. The success and failure procedures in life is in synchronizing your consciousness with a tremendous flow of divine guidance, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I don't care whether you're an engineer, whether you're a farmer, whether you're a technician, or whether you're looking for a solution. Those thoughts that start to pour in your mind, that start to shape up, come out of the heavens above. They are the areas of inspiration. They mark your race above every people on the face of the earth. Well, you say, well, there's some people that are not too spiritual to get ideas, but they still have inherited the way. One of these days, every white man on the face of the earth is going to be real spiritual. He's going to be enveloped with the glory of his Father, because the Scripture says so. And all Israel shall be saved, as is written. Not saved from perdition when we die, but saved from the catastrophes that envelop the earth in which we live. And we say, we might get killed at this. That's possible. There have been martyrs from the beginning, but the absent from this body is present with the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what the world doesn't understand. the what they martyr will sit in administration on the throne and still rule with a rod of iron. Though they come out of the kindred with the host of heaven, they still shall rule in the earth. There are some people that haven't carried out good stewardship, but they'll be resurrected and finish the task they didn't do, and don't you forget it. Spiritual things, yes, they are the laws that govern the planes of God's creation. The greatest spiritual truth you can understand is the way to live triumphantly in the earth as the Son of God and not acknowledge any other force as having power to control your destiny. Then I want you to know this afternoon that this doesn't mean absorbing the earth. It means liberating it and ruling it with law. It does not mean integration. It does not mean mongrelization. It means, thus saith the Lord. There is no greater liberty than being set free in the liberty of divine wisdom and knowledge out of superstition and error into the purposes of God. And as such, this is what the book is all about. This is why the church is a living institution to become a medium of the catalyst of the thoughts of the worshiping children of God, to be receivers of the areas of inspiration, and to carry out the oracle of God as a function for the society of God's people. Nations of his kingdom are a part of his plan. The great program of the kingdom of God, ruling the earth in righteousness, is the necessary thing. After they butchered 153 Christians this week, after they threw on one day 54 clergy to the crocodiles one at a time, while they rent and tore and twist these missionaries, these educators, their blood flowed the stream while more angry crocodiles came on, and these Congolese threw them in. Congolese that had been red-inspired, Congolese that had been under the control of the witch doctor, that hated you and what you stood for. And it wasn't because they hadn't been given any training or background. Some had been schooled, some had been military, but they were seizing the areas of their benefactors. They were throwing them to the crocodiles. And before we got through this week, 153, a significant number, were thrown to the crocodiles. Someone says we got to share government with it, so we have to rule this with a rod of iron. Now, I'm not too sure that Adam Clayton Powell wouldn't throw you in the Hudson River or the East River. He said we must rise up and we must overthrow the white man, throw him in the river if necessary. There's just those crocodiles out there, just a long swim. Let me tell you something. This is when you turn your back on responsibility. This is when you let the enemy determine what is liberty, what is freedom. Not the United Nations, but God's kingdom come. You've been taught to pray for it. You've been taught to work for it. So we accept this.